ladies and gentlemen, to this Monday edition of the Hagman Report. Want to give a special shout out to and a happy birthday to my sister Jackie, who is here in studio. Everybody say happy birthday. Happy
all
birthday,
at once,
Jackie.
Studio audience, go ahead. My princess, actually my youngest daughter, Jackie, and God bless you. Thank you, Jackie, for being the great young lady that you are, a great Christian young lady, and I'm proud of you.
And where's
thank
my
you
piece
so
of
much.
Birthday cake?
Yeah, yeah. What happened to that? Actually, Joe and I, we were working show prep before, whilst my family, along with Eric and Jackie, had
they're out to dinner and we're working,
and partying and such. But before we get back to Pastor Paul Begley, do you own a business? You know, right now, it's never been, I mean, businesses are hiring across the board. And if you are a business owner, small, medium, large business, it doesn't matter. If you're, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates available? We've got the place for you. Posting your job in one place right now is not enough to find quality candidates with that. And that's what you're looking for. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And now you can. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. We have tried this. We've used it. And I'm going to tell you something. It works. It is fantastic. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. That's how we got John Robertson. I'm kidding on that. But seriously, we have used this, and just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy to use interface. It is, if I can use it, anyone can use it. There's no juggling of emails, no calls to your office. You know how quickly that gets annoying. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium sized businesses. Right now, folks, listeners to this program can post on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial.
Pastor Paul Begley is our guest. His radio show is The Coming Apocalypse. Pastor, before the break, we were talking about a number of issues from the attack in Charlottesville, the media response and their hatred of Trump, this whole white supremacy issue. And then we have issues we were talking about during the break, ongoing, the North Korea-U.S. tensions rising, the Robert Mueller investigation into Trump. And then we have a number of natural events that are upcoming, from the solar eclipse to the incident on September 23rd, where the stars are going to be in a great alignment. Where do you want to start off this hour?
Well, you know, when you talk about North Korea, I think that it's now August the 15th in North Korea. This is the deadline day. He set the day. He said it was his plan that he was going to fire off these missiles. He's got four of them pointed right toward Guam. And, so does he do it or not? Former general, now the Secretary of Defense, James Mad Dog Mattis, made a comment not long ago today saying, don't worry, if he fires them, we will shoot them down, period. So does Kim Jong-un do it? Does he go ahead and do it? Or does he let this deadline pass? What does that all mean? I mean, and if he does, and we do shoot him down, is that a provocation strong enough that Trump wants to go in with a, wouldn't be considered a preemptive strike, but it would be a retaliation? And China is saying if it's a preemptive strike, they're going to back Kim Jong-un. Here we go. I mean, this is a big day. Let's see if this day passes with nothing happening, because that would be really, really good. But it won't solve the problem. And if you go back to that 1999 interview that Donald Trump did with the late Tim Russert on Meet the Press, it might as well have been a prophecy, because what Trump said, if we don't deal with North Korea's antics now, we'll have to deal with them later, and it'll be a lot bigger toys, and that's where we're at.
That's right. That was in 1999, I believe, right?
Yes, 1999.
Right, because I did play that during my morning show. Yeah, this is amazing. I had the occasion to speak with my insurance agent this morning on a different matter, and asked if I could take out a $1 million life insurance policy on Kim Jong-un. And of course you can't, but that said, yeah, wow.
I can't believe, Doug, I can't believe that this guy, that his own people haven't taken him out.
Really?
Can't believe there isn't. Think about it. I mean,
yeah.
he fed his uncle to the bunch of hungry hound dogs. He shoots his aunt in the head. He kills his ex-girlfriend. I mean, his half-brother gets, rubbed down in, some kind of, radiation or something. I mean, this guy shoots people day and night, executes them. You would think that within the ranks, someone would say enough is enough, but they worship these guys like gods, I guess.
It is amazing. Regime change, is that the goal here? Obviously, and I've heard you talk about this, Pastor, you know, the Korean War never ended. Of course, there's just a ceasefire in place. And, what's the end game here with respect to North and South Korea, North Korea in particular, in your estimation, based on your analysis and your research?
You know, this is a crux. This is a critical point in history because it's really not about North Korea. It's about the United States and China and Russia. If the United States was to do a regime change move, first of all, I don't think China would let it happen. I really don't. I think China would say, okay, you want to take Kim Jong-un out. You've made your statement, but we're going to step in and we're going to decide who the next leader of this country is going to be. Because I don't think China and Russia want to have a U.S. ally sitting in the front, you know, right in the back door. So this would be a major tremendously bold move by the Trump administration if they try to take out Kim Jong-un and then reunify all of Korea. It'd be wonderful if it happened, but boy, you talk about a bold move. What would the Chinese do? What would the Russians do? You're really at a tipping point of potential World War III, and a couple reasons is, look at the buildup that Russia has along the NATO border. Look at all of in the United States right now, all up and down the West Coast. The Canadians are doing it along their West Coast and all the way up into Alaska. We have missile defense systems in place. We have literally got battleships and submarines everywhere protecting our back door in case this North Korea thing blows sky high and Russia wanted to go in the back door. So we've not been here before since World War II. We've not been in this situation.
You know, estimates, military estimates, and I don't know how many people know this, recent military estimates report that, should there be an attack against North Korea, they estimate that 20% of the North Korean population of 25 million would become refugees. It would move north or south. So into China, into Russia, with Russia, that I think is, what is it, 12-mile border, 11-mile border, something like that. So, you know, what you talk about a humanitarian, potential humanitarian crisis caused by the regime of this madman there. It's really incredible. Wow. Is this anywhere in the Bible, Pastor? I mean, obviously, I'm asking this, aside from the times of war, is this anywhere?
There's actually a scripture in Daniel chapter 11 that I have talked about this several times, that I think it's referring to this situation. It's a verse right here toward the end of the chapter. In the 11th chapter of Daniel, it talks about the rise of the Antichrist spirit that moves into the land. And when you go to Daniel chapter 11, it talks about what looks to me like the Arab Spring. So Obama plays a major role in this because Obama and Hillary Clinton actually brought the Arab Spring to the table. They called for the removal of the leader of Tunisia, Ben Ali, and then Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, and then Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, and then Ali al-Saleh of Yemen, and then Bashar Assad of Syria. And one by one, these guys fell till we got to Assad, and then Russia stepped in and stopped it. Look at this verse. So, okay, if you read Daniel 11, 41 through 44, you will see all these countries. It says, he shall enter into the glorious land. Many countries will be overthrown, including Egypt but the children of Ammon, or Ammon, Jordan, they won't fall, and they didn't. Egypt fell twice during this process. And then you get in here, the Libyans, the Ethiopians, okay. I mean, it's right down the line. Then it says these words, but verse 44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with a great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. So this Arab Spring was just taking them down one by one. But when Russia stepped into Syria and said no more, he put an end to the Obama madness of the Middle East. And now the East, trouble from the North, which would be Russia, trouble from the East, which would be China, now North Korea, the eastern part, slows down the process of the globalization. And I'm not saying Russia was trying to cause it. They just caused Trump. They just stopped the Obama globalization, the Illuminati, the New World Order. The two things happened. Brexit, that messed up the globalization plan. Trump getting elected, that really messed up the globalization plan. And Russia stopping Obama's domino effect in the Middle East, that messed up the globalization plan. But yes, it does say trouble from the east, and I think that we're witnessing that trouble right now in that area.
Yes, we are. And, you know, when we see, one of the things that's interesting, we talked about this on the show last week, the Bank of International Settlements and the list of countries from the Bush group, PNAC, that they wanted to overthrow in order to implement central banks in these countries were North Korea, Iran, Syria, Libya, Sudan, Ethiopia, and there was another one. All the countries now have central banks in it except for North Korea and Iran, which are, you know, labeled as our two biggest enemies in by the media, by the political establishment. And we see North Korea living up to that with the rhetoric, which is all that they are doing. But the last one to challenge the international monetary system was Gaddafi in Libya, where he decided to take the country away from the U.S. dollar and use gold only, and he was immediately killed. That's when Hillary Clinton came in and said, you know, we came, we saw, he died. Now North Korea and Iran are the two countries left without the central banks in them, and it's no wonder that we see them being the targets of the New World Order establishment. And I guess the question is, and I've asked a few guests this last week, and they all agree that these countries will have to be destabilized. These central banks will have to be placed into these countries for the complete grip of the New World Economic Order to take place. What do you think, Pastor?
I agree, and I had this discussion with Heidi actually about 3 days ago, and we were talking about the fact that these are the only two countries left that have not come, you know, that are operating outside of that, really the central banking system. Okay, and where all this quantum easing's been going on, it's paper money, it's monopoly money, it's digital money, it's not even real money. And, but because these two countries do not participate in the system for the New World Order, for there to be a one world government, they got to get everybody on this page or the system won't work. And I'm talking about the mark of the beast system. It has to be a worldwide, there can't be no loose cannons. And so I agree with you 150% that this is part of it. You know, you have the global elitist, you have the Bilderberg group. You notice every time the Bilderberg group meets, there's always a change in the economic, whether it's interest rates, who's going to be the Fed chair, International Monetary Fund, this new group, this five called BRIC. Everything comes out of that meeting. And ever, right after that meeting, big time trouble. North Korea just got targeted. They've always been an issue, but now they seem like they got a huge bullseye on their back. It's as if this has to be done.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, what do you think about the, one thing that's, I see as a common thread with the North Korea-USA situation is the rhetoric from North Korea, the continued threats. What do you think about the specific threat about hitting Guam? Do you believe that the North Koreans even have the capability to do that?
I do think they have the capability to hit Guam, but I don't think they realize what capability we have to shoot down their missiles. I do believe they can hit them. I do think they have the right missiles. The Pentagon says they have them. Do they have the ability to retrofit a small nuke on there? I don't know about that. But and some of this is hype to give Trump the okay to do a preemptive strike. Part of this is the media is building up North Korea to be worse than of a threat than they are. They're more of a threat to South Korea. They've got all right. of these little mid, you know, small artillery and small missiles they could just shoot across the border. That one, they could really do some damage and kill a lot of people. And we've got 28,000 of our own men and women in uniforms sitting right there. But they could hit Guam if we left them alone. But I don't think we'll let that happen. We'll shoot it out of the sky.
You know, I find it very interesting that, people don't really understand. It was Bill Clinton. It was his administration that really allowed this to, get where it's at. And of course, the appeasement policy of, the Obama regime. And I gotta throw Bush in there as well. Because,
yes, you do.
You know, so, I mean, to be fair, you've got Clinton selling or the quid pro quo situation with China and hence North Korea. And Iran as well, but not so much with, Clinton. And then you've got Obama with Iran, and yeah, it's just a mess. What a mess.
Well, don't forget Al Gore. Don't forget Al Gore.
That's true.
Because he's the one that sat there with the Buddhist monks, and he was, you know, he was smelling the incense, and he was worried about the polar caps, and he invented the internet, and he handed over the documents and the intellectual property to the Chinese and the North Koreans. I mean, Al Gore, you can't forget him. He was doing the bidding, really, of Bill Clinton. And then, as you said, Obama just appeases them. I mean, look, this, and Bush has been involved in the appeasement. They all have. This is the first time we've had anybody say, no, enough is enough. Now, what does that mean? And what kind of information is President Trump really getting? You know, you have to wonder if you're the guy there and they're bringing you reports, well, are the reports they bringing you the truth or not? That's another whole story.
Okay. Pastor, if we can switch gears here. I saw an article that I posted on Hagman Report last Friday. It's from Michael Snyder and his website, The Economic Collapse Blog. And he posted an article about 21 things that are going to happen in the next 40 days. I'm trying to pull up the article now. One of those is the solar eclipse. Today he has a new article, 10 Very Strange Facts About the August 21st Solar Eclipse That Will Blow Your Mind. And the article that I referred to earlier about the number of different 12 critical events are going to happen over a 40-day period from August 21st to September 30th. And it goes into, it starts with the Great American Eclipse, which is the August 21st, that is going to sweep, August 21st. It's going to sweep across the nation, starting in Oregon, and it's going to be a full eclipse for much of the country and a partial eclipse for, that you guys got to check out the paths. But it's the first time in 99 years that we're going to have a full solar eclipse. What do you think? I mean, obviously this is a natural occurring event, Pastor. We have had eclipses for years. I remember in elementary school being taken out of school and given these special glasses when we had almost a full eclipse here where we live. And just like a full moon, it's usually tied to strange behavior and an uptick in strangeness in animals and humans. But what do you expect to see with this eclipse?
I think it's a, I'm definitely going to see it, and I'm going to be in Boise, Idaho for the Hear the Watchman conference, and then we're going that day. We're taking a bus up to the Continental Divide, and we're going to be there with the thousands of crazy people that are going to be watching this. And I mean, it's going to be insane. Pagans, witches, warlocks, wizards, they're all going to be up there. I don't know what I'm going to, but I believe it's a warning from God for America. The reason is the day it happens is the first day of Elul, which is the first day of 40 days of repentance. And it just so happens that's the day of the eclipse. That's also the same exact day that the eclipse went over Nineveh when Jonah showed up and said, God's going to destroy the city in 40 days. It was the first day of Elul, or the 40 days of repentance. Now Nineveh repented and God spared the city. I don't know what that means for America. And also, we've seen the solar eclipse of 1918 that you're referring to, Joe. That was followed by the great flu of 1918 that killed almost 700,000 people in America, including my great grandmother. Also in the solar eclipse of 1133, the King of England died the day of the solar eclipse that went over England and part of Europe. It also, there was a solar eclipse, of course, that brought down the Ottoman Empire, as well. So, these solar eclipses, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, I just want to read this one verse. It says this, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So for your calendar, for sure, and for night and day. But what about signs? Those are prophetic signs. And seasons in the Hebrew means divine appointments or maybe feast days. So we are seeing God has always used the signs. Matter of fact, Jesus said there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and distress of nations with perplexity or confusion, the sea, the waves roaring, and men's hearts have failed them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is just before you see the sign of the Son of Man coming. So I really truly believe that this is a prophetic sign without question, and it specifically is for America this time, because we're the nation that's it. And if you look at the path of it, it literally is the exact dividing line between the North and the South in the time of the Civil War. This is stunning. And aren't we a pretty divided nation right now? I mean, isn't that how you guys started the show?
Oh, absolutely. This is a divided nation, at least now politically more so than ever, than I can remember.
Right. And I think that's part of the repentance that God is calling for. And we can't let it be in the church. For so long in the body of Christ, there's been division among denominations, among, you know, views and ideologies and doctrine. And look, it's okay to have opinions, and it's okay to even have different denominations if you want. But boy, we got to pull together in these last days. We're not the enemy. And same thing for America. America's got to pull together and not be so, but we've got so many of these, the swamp is seriously so slippery, slimy, sleazy, and slushy, and it's ugly down there. And the more that it gets drained, the uglier it gets, and we're finding out just how divided and how ruthless some of these folks are in the swamp in Washington, and this is a sign from God, I think, directly for America this time.
And, you know, what's interesting about this great American eclipse is it is the first time that a solar eclipse will only be visible in the United States since the United States first became a nation. And that's pretty interesting. And we also had the blood moons that fell on Jewish holy days. The four blood moons that we had just a few years back. And then, you know, leading up to September 23rd, as Michael Snyder points out, this date of what has become known as the Revelations 12 sign on September 3rd, a unique astronomical alignment of the Sun, the Moon, the constellation Virgo, Leo, planets Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, Venus, are going to fulfill a passage from the Book of Revelations, according to many. A lot of interesting numerology going on here, too, as Michael Snyder also points out
that at the end of, is it September 29th, Yom Kippur begins at sunset, and it concludes on September 30th. September 30th will be the end of the 40-day period that begins with the Great American Eclipse on August 21st. So it's pretty interesting to see a number of these things line up. So you have August 21st, the Great American Eclipse. Then September 23rd, you have the Revelation 12 alignment. And September 29th is the beginning of Yom Kippur, which concludes, and the date it concludes on September 30th is encompasses a 40-day period that begins with the Great American Eclipse.
That's exactly right. So, and it is absolutely, and those are hitting on very important prophetic Jewish feast days, which speaks directly to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And there's another sign, Joe, and that is October the 12th, we have an asteroid. The asteroid is called 2012 TC4. And this asteroid is going to come so dangerously close to the Earth that NASA has said that every observatory and every telescope is turning toward the space to capture it as soon as it gets close, so that the best mathematicians we got can calculate to be sure it doesn't hit us. It's going to come within 4,000 miles of the Earth or closer, plus the gravitational pull. They're very concerned. And oh, by the way, that happens the day after the Feast of Tabernacles, the conclusion of the feast season. Here comes this asteroid. I don't think it's going to hit us, but it's going to be so close. They're worried about it. I mean, they're extremely worried about it. And we'll know more about that. You'll start hearing the mass media talk about it around October 1st or 2nd when it comes into view and the calculations are done. So that's another one.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is, again, as you said, asteroid 2012 TC4 will make its return on October of 2017. And they're still trying to they said that years ago, it brushed up against the planet years ago, and the calculations of its trajectory told astronomers it would return again in October of 2017. They say previous calculations could only be sure that it would pass within a window of 4,200 to 170,000 miles, but its size and precise movements could not be pinned down. And it's, you know, we see these stories all the time where usually after an asteroid passes, they say, oh, you know, meteor brushes by Earth. Nobody saw it coming. We see those stories a lot. And it will be interesting to see this. Now, you're saying it could be close enough that the actual gravitational pull of the Earth could pull it in.
It could. And NASA admits that, but says, but don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. Okay. But we don't know if it's going to come within 4,000, 4,200 miles or 175,000 miles. Joe, that is a huge difference. I mean, that is a huge difference. I mean, so we don't know yet about this one. Okay. And what I find fascinating is CBS has a brand new series out right now called Salvation. It's on every Wednesday night. And, it's about an asteroid on a collision course with Earth. And they are trying to figure out a way to shoot it out of the sky. Now, remember, Vladimir Putin said 2 years ago that he was pointing his nuclear missiles toward the heavens for any incoming asteroids. He's already said that. And it was Barack Obama and the that opened up the what they called the Armageddon office in the White House for what he called an upcoming space weather event. So I'm not saying that TC4, that this asteroid is going to hit us, but they can't assure us 100% that it won't. They won't know till early October. So you got your solar eclipse, you got your constellations. Oh, by the way, folks, that September 23rd constellation, Joe, that's in the Bible. That was prophesied 2,000 years ago by the Apostle John. And it's the only time it's ever going to happen. It's never happened before. And they've used quantum computers and have run the model forward forever for infinity. This constellation never sets up like this again. You're telling me we're in this window, these three signs. Boom, boom, boom. I'm just saying that people need to get start doing some inventory. Take a look in the mirror, guys. Ask yourself, are you where you need to be with God? Because God's trying to get our attention.
No, you're absolutely right. Just look at everything that's transpired in the last year, from the election of the impossible election of Donald Trump, and everything that's transpired since. And then we have, you know, the these signs from the sky and the sun. And as you said, you just quoted the Bible verse earlier that we would see the signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. You know, the nations roaring. All these signs are coming together all at once, or in a small period of time, which, you know, a lot of people are saying that the rapture is going to happen just because we're having this alignment. And obviously, the Bible says nobody knows the day nor the hour except the Father in heaven. So we have to dismiss any of the date setting. But as far as getting our attention, that's something that, you know, historically, even from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we know the Lord does, and he does it through a number of events, whether it's through people or through nature that's around us. And unfortunately, not many people are paying attention, and some of those who are don't want to attribute that to the Lord. And as that happens, you know, he's going to continue to call on to his people with these types of signs. And then, you know, what the signs that the people want are going to be the signs that the Antichrist gives, the lying signs and wonders. And that's, you know, are we in that time? You know, this is a time like no other, and folks really need to pay attention, because we don't know, you know, biblically, prophetically, how soon the day of the Lord is.
You know, Joe, to this point, Amos said this. In Amos chapter 8, verse 9, he said, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day." Now, it was referring to a time when there would be great judgment coming upon the earth. And this eclipse will be taking place at noon in some portions of the United States. Also, another thing about this, to your point, I love the fact you brought up that the Antichrist, or that the beast, would want to come with his lying signs and wonders. You see, these signs are prophetically prophesied in the Bible that we're seeing. These three signs are not man-made. These are God-made. Solar eclipses for such a time as this. Who could have mathematically calculated for the solar eclipses to take place at certain times and certain seasons to affect certain nations? And then this constellational thing to land on the Feast of Trumpets, it's absolutely the next thing to impossible. And then you have the asteroids. So these are three God signs. But the Antichrist will try to do signs, and he will do signs. They'll be lying. They'll be deceptive. He may use all kinds of different technology to do it, to fool the people, to deceive the people. But I'm glad that the Bible tells us what signs we will see, and they are pointing to the coming of the Son of Man. And I'm with you. It doesn't mean, you know, I don't believe that this means there's no date set in here. Jesus don't even know when he's coming back. But certainly these are signs to make us aware that we are in the last days, and that we need to really take a look at where we are with God. And I would just encourage all your listeners out there to, I know many of them are Christian, but there are some that aren't, no doubt. And you need to stop and look at this. Look how perfect God is. And these left-wing liberals that do nothing but conjure up hate and bigotry and try to create animosity and try to tear down. Part of the reason they want to tear down America is they really want to tear down America's faith in God. That's the bottom line. When you get right down to the brass tacks, freedom, all your constitutional amendments are based on biblical principles of freedom. And super social, just look what's happening to Venezuela. Somebody get Bernie Sanders and send him down to Venezuela. Let Bernie spend a weekend down there and let him understand what this socialistic experiment will bring. It will bring nothing but chaos and misery. Go ask Fidel Castro's Cubans. The Cuban people have suffered for 60-some years. Look at North Korea. Oh, my Lord. So it doesn't work. It doesn't.
So all of this, everything that we're seeing, Pastor, and I believe this to be the case, we're being set up, I suppose. I don't know how else to really describe this, but we're being set up for judgment, the day of judgment, but we're being warned ahead of time. It's interesting you mentioned too about the progressives, about the socialists in the United States in particular. It seems to me that the agenda here is to eradicate all of Christianity or contaminate Christianity with Chrislam or some perverted form of Christianity that does not include the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that would disinclude Jesus. And create this false Christian belief system, which I believe is even more dangerous than any kind of a vacuum absent of any type of Christian. And I see this coalescing, this whole thing coalescing, especially with events like with what happened in Virginia over the weekend. You know, the collective calamity that we're seeing take place. It's my belief. That it's going to push us toward having to choose sides that does involve some level of our faith, and how the Pope gets, you know, is involved in this as well. And I guess what I'm trying to say, and I'm biting off this big chunk of this big elephant here in the room, but man, you know, all of these signs and everything that's taking place and these events, and look how fast everything is happening. You know what? Even Paul Begley couldn't do a show, I believe this, to cover all of the news in one day, even if you were on 24/7, you know?
No way.
So.
And you know, you know, Doug, you bring up the Vatican. I mean, the biggest globalist on the planet right now is Pope Francis. I don't think people understand. But he immediately embraced the United Nations agenda, what's called global sustainability. He endorsed it. He came to the United States. Barack Obama rode out the red carpet. He embraced the Obama doctrine of globalization. And then he went before our Congress. And then he went to the United Nations and addressed the world. And his entire message was always this. Globalization, you know, basically new world order. Okay, one world government. I mean, he was all over this, and that would include a one world religion. And that's where Chrislam does come in. And so we've already seen this from this Pope. I mean, 2 years ago, I remember being in Canada preaching up there. And at the same time, the Pope brought in, people from seven different religions, not denominations of Christianity, religions to pray, at the Vatican. Now, I'm not throwing any of the of our Catholic brothers and sisters out there. I'm not throwing any off on any of you, but I've baptized a lot of Catholics here recently, and they all tell me that the Pope's not Catholic. I mean, what he believes and what they've been doing and believing in Jesus Christ is not the same. So we're witnessing a transformation, the spirit of the Illuminati. There's no question that the beast is trying to rise. And as it rises, you're going to see a dividing line where you're going to have to choose which side you're on, folks. You're either going to have to hold to God or cave in and accept the beast. And if you can't stand for God right now in a good time, how are you going to stand in a crunch time? Because I think that's why Jesus said, pray that you be worthy to escape the hour of temptations coming upon the world. In other words, get strong enough to handle it when it starts to come. And we're watching it, Doug. It's the progressive movement is part of that globalistic change.
And they've got I'll just say this, the progressive movement, as to their agenda, they've got a rocket up their butt, okay, because it is fast
and
going
Pastor,
across the country.
If I can ask you this, we know in America here, many people, regardless of the polls that say 70% identify as Christian, many people have turned away from God. And specifically, you know, many in the Democratic Party, the progressive left, and many on the right will use the name of God. But on the left-hand side, they've wholeheartedly, you know, just said, there is no God. Get him out of our schools. Get him out of everything that we do. We don't want any reference to him. how much of what we're seeing do you believe, you know, like when Pastor Langford was on the other day and he went over the story of the Pharaoh hardening, God hardening the Pharaoh's heart. How much of what we're seeing do you believe is a reaction where God is saying, okay, you don't want any association with me. You want to be godless. I'll turn you over, you know, to a godless people, into a godless people. How much of what we see going on in the country here, even politically, do you attribute to spirituality, the spiritual battle?
You know, Pastor Langford's exactly right. You know, the Bible says that God said that he would turn them over to a hardness of heart and a reprobate mind to believe those things that are convenient. Okay? So, and he says that in the book of Romans, chapter 1. And then it even tells you that when the spirit of the Antichrist, which I believe is already in process big time, that when this comes, that God said that they'll believe, they'll be deceived, they'll believe strong delusion. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They'll believe a lie and they'll all be damned. And it's so at some point God says, look, if that's what you want to do, I'm trying my best to set you free. I'm offering you my grace and mercy. I could show you a better life. I could fill your heart with peace. But when people want to pervert everything, pervert the genders, pervert marriage, pervert the church, pervert the country, pervert the neighborhood. I mean, when people finally just reject God so blatantly, then God says, okay, I'm just going to turn you over to that. I'm done. I can't, what can I do? And, I think that that's exactly what you're witnessing around the world, actually. You're witnessing this hardness of heart, just like Pharaoh. And you know, God, it took 10 times. It took 10 times of Pharaoh. And I think what you're going to see, what you're witnessing right now is the hardening of the heart of the left. And of course, already those that are worshiping pagan gods are already there, but now we're seeing it. They're rejecting God. You know what the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah? It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. It's one thing to be believing something that's wrong. It's another thing to have had something right and reject it and take something wrong. America has no excuse. We've had the truth. We built our constitution around the principles of the Bible of liberty and freedom for all. We had the truth. We're walking away from the truth to believe a lie. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good.
No, you're exactly right, Pastor. And it is, for Christians, it's very hard to continue to watch, you know, the morals being, bankrupted from this country to even where they're trying to pervert children now with this transgender agenda. And what's really messed up about it is the establishment and the media are now the ones promoting it and calling those people who will, as Obama would say, cling to religion or hold firm to their faith as the intolerant, the hateful, the bigoted ones because we
want deplorable.
Deplorable. Perfect example. And, you know, you just have to ask, are they going to wake up? Is common sense going to prevail? But we see, you know, those who don't accept or call out the transgenderism, even with children, they're haters. They're the ones who are going to be censored on YouTube and Google and whatnot. What do you have to say about the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, teaming up with YouTube to now to be able to say, well, this is extremist content because it doesn't line up with the mainstream media's, you know, talking points, and being able to isolate and categorize your video in a place where nobody can see it unless they absolutely go and search for you and search for your video?
You know, it's the biggest hypocrisy on the face of the planet. When you talk about freedom of speech, and I understand YouTube is a private company, okay, so they can decide what, but don't lie about it, okay? Don't play this game that this is for everyone, but only everyone that follows and believes our way. And so what you're seeing here is this, I mean, the left say that they believe in, they say they're progressive, but they're the furthest thing from progressive. Because what they've done, they isolate, they eliminate. You either do it their way or you're out. and they believe the end justifies the means. They'll do anything. They will kill. They will murder. They will slander. They will disassociate. They will do anything to further their own agenda, yet promise liberty. You know, they're a lot like the Bible. They promise the people liberty, but they enslave them in their left-wing liberal ways. And this transgender movement, guys, with the children, okay? Transgenderism among children, forcing this upon children, is what they're doing. And then they get mad at us for saying to, look, little boys are little boys, little girls, let's train them in the way it should. This is not common sense, guys. I mean, like, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out.
No, you're right. And the University of Michigan, there was a study done by the University of Michigan where the person or persons who conducted the study came out with the conclusion that preschools were not gay enough, that there is too much heterosexuality in preschools. I mean, this is what the world's coming to. And I read this quote earlier on the Daily Show that we do from Ralph Waldo Emerson. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. And it was very fitting for today's time because, what's really troublesome with the transgender, the gender, the multiple gender issues, the assault on everything that is God, either from a man and woman to marriage to just everything God has established. They are not only telling you that you're wrong if you don't tolerate what they say, but then they censor your point of view, basically saying you don't have a right to say it. And we're getting to the point where it's almost exactly like George Orwell's 1984, where what is it? Peace is violence, or peace equals war. Truth equals lies. Everything is the opposite. And they can't win with a common sense argument. They can't win with the facts. So they have to oppress and silence their opposition out of the equation. And that's, I mean, really progressive president coming into office away from actual seeing type of FEMA camps and political prisoners? I mean,
absolutely.
How soon until our point of view is outlawed?
We were within an eyelash of it on November the 8th. We were within one heartbeat. Hillary Clinton was the final election for America had she won. It had begun. The lights are on, guys. They're like Motel 6. They're leaving the FEMA lights on. It's ready to go. And the technology to implement this global one world order, new world order, is already in their hands. This thing was on its way. Henry Kissinger's probably freaking out because he's got to wait another 4 years or more. And, he don't know if he can see it last that long. I mean, we're on the brink. And, God has given us a reprieve. I'm going to tell you now, it was the people voted, the people prayed, and the media kept saying, Donald Trump has no path to victory. There's no conceivable path. There's just no path. Well, God said he'd make a way where there seems to be no way. And so he made that way. And we've got a little window of reprieve. What we do with it and how we move forward is really going to be up to us. But ultimately, we know this beast system is coming. We can't stop that prophecy. We can delay it. We can fight back, and we need to do that as hard as we can. But we, at the same time, this is reality. We're in the last days, and I think it's time for people to understand it. I don't know what that means. If that's, 25 years or 25 months or 25 weeks, I couldn't tell you, but we're in the team picture, guys. We're in the team picture.
That's some, wow. Absolutely incredible as we look at the total or the complete picture. And I think we have to do that.
Yeah,
we have to look at everything and see how everything interconnects. And by the way, that's the only way, at least in my view, when you see things happening domestically and then geopolitically and across the board, if you don't look at everything through a biblical worldview, to me, you're not getting the full picture. And I think that's so important. And I know that's what you do. Pastor Paul Bigley is our guest. Pastor, we've got, seven minutes left of our time together. Brother,
wow.
Where do you want to?
anything that we haven't talked about.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming to Gurnee, Illinois. I just want you to know that it was a tremendous honor to have a conference with you guys in it. John Robinson as well. You guys just brought a powerful presentations, and it was a great conference, and we're still, people just are raving about this. They just keep talking about this. The fact that the truth was spoken, lives were changed, eyes were opened, and I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, Pastor, you've done so much for so many through the conferences you've put on and the conferences you have presented. It's just amazing, and of course, your stamina is just incredible with respect to the shows that you do and your TV shows and all of your projects and everything. We think the world of you. We really do.
I love you guys. Can I throw one thing out? And I have a brand new DVD that's come out. We were talking about the solar eclipse. I forgot this. But it's called The Total Eclipse of the Sun, S-O-N. And it's a one-hour DVD. It's available at my website, in which I talk about this total solar eclipse, a lot of factual information historically and biblically with eclipses, and also the Revelation 12 on September 23rd. I completely diagram it all. It's a great PowerPoint. My wife Heidi did tremendous research on it, and that is available for people, and it's a great learning tool. It's a great, great teaching that I think would help people, especially if you're out there and you're saying, I just don't understand that constellation thing. It doesn't make sense. We literally draw it out for you and help you understand it. But when you hear, for instance, you remember Hezekiah in the Bible. Hezekiah was sick unto death, okay? The prophet Isaiah was sending her to tell him that you better get your house in order because you're going to die. And as the prophet leaves, Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he asks God to please forgive him and to heal him and to let him live. And the Lord said, all right, I hear your prayer. I'm going to let you live. And I'll move the sun forward. And Hezekiah said, that's easy for you. Move it backwards and prove to me you're going to heal. Well, God did. He moved it back 10 degrees. Well, what it really was a partial eclipse. When the moon went in front of the sun, that means the light was on this side as it was going in. But when it went around, it would pop out the other side. It's an exact 10 degree sign. So and what's the odds of that partial eclipse happening on that very day? So God is so far out ahead of us that we think we're in the lead. Okay. We're so far behind, we think we're in front. And, God is, these are part of this series. I think it'd just be great for some of your viewers out there. I just want to make sure I almost forgot it.
I love it. And matter of fact, we're going to order, the DVDs.
Yeah.
What's the price on them? I'm sorry. Did you say that? Because I might have missed that.
Yeah, it's $25 for that DVD. It's okay. A 1 hour DVD. Yes.
All right.
It's called The Total Eclipse of the Sun. Okay. Total Eclipse of the Sun. Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, we definitely have to order that because, that sounds fascinating. And my goodness. Obviously timely and such. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for your gift of time tonight. Thanks for having us in Gurnee. Thanks for having us in Indiana when we were up there on
our
TV show.
That was a great show. That was one of our most watched television shows ever, is the two-part special of the Hagmans. And it's on my YouTube channel, guys, anybody out there wants to watch it. It's a television show where I'm interviewing Doug and Joe Hagman. It is phenomenal. Two-part.
It was a two-parter, and it's the only one where they had to bring the William Kennedy Smith trial blue dot and put it over our faces. I'm kidding, but, you do such great work, Master, and, we really appreciate everything you do, and we just thank you for being our guest on the program. So.
Thank
and,
you.
And
thank
your wife.
You guys.
But by the way, your wife's book.
Oh, yeah. Heidi.
Oh, yeah.
Did she have her surgery?
She had her first surgery. She's had a complete hip replacement, and she healed beautifully. Just unbelievable. She's so far ahead of schedule. It's unbelievable. And so now she's having a second one, the other hip.
Right.
Complete. And that's going to be in late October. So pray for her to get through that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we were in Gurnee, I remember, her saying that she was going to visit, her grandson, her granddaughter, out in California because she was going to be down for a while for the hip surgery and that she had to have two done. So I'm glad to hear that the first one went very smoothly and that she's ahead of schedule. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's doing great. She looks great. And, you know, she just looks 20 years younger than she is. And I look 15 years older than I am.
Pastor, last question. Any conferences scheduled upcoming you're putting on?
Yes, I'm actually putting one on in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, coming up October the 21st, down in the Bayou. And boy, you talk about a conference. Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, BP Earthwatch, and myself, and country gospel artist Kevin Wilson. I mean, this is I mean, it almost rivals Gurnee. It's so close.
Baton
the only thing missing is the Hagmans. It's the only thing missing.
But we'll catch the DVD on that one, Pastor.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
it's going to be good. I mean, BP Earthwatch, this is the first time he's ever spoken publicly. So, get signed up for that one, guys. October 21st. It's called Lightning Strikes the Bayou.
Pastor Paul Begley is our guest. PaulBegleyProphecy.com is the website. The Coming Apocalypse is the radio show, folks. You can hear that daily. Just go to Pastor's website. You can find it there. It's also streamed live on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. I believe YouTube. But either way, Paul Begley 34 is the YouTube channel. He does tons of videos there. Pastor, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you on. Look forward to being able to do this again. And we will talk with you next time.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
God bless.
We'll be right back after this network break. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.